Well, I know I'm not the only one, but this is an exciting time of year. I mean, Rally Day gets me excited. But myself and at least one other who will remain nameless are really getting excited because it is once again time for Survivor to kick up. It's a family favorite. We gather around the TV and we watch the competitors compete, trying not to get kicked off. And over the years, I have to say, there's one thing I've found that the losers have in common. Well, there's actually more than one thing, but one thing that applies to today's lesson. The people who try to straddle both camps. I mean, everyone kind of divides, they may have their own little fiefdoms, but everyone kind of divides into a couple groups and they work against each other. But those people that try to straddle both groups, in the end, nobody likes them. One of them actually made it to the very end one time, the very, very end, where those that have been kicked off get to decide who the ultimate winner is. And there's a point where they get to come up and talk to each people, the people of the jury, those who have lost, get to come up and ask questions to try to find out what is your strategy. And I remember the one person who basically straddled, never real had clear allegiance to either side, always changed with the wind. He said, I have no questions to ask you. You're not getting my vote. You're useless. I'm done with you. It's impossible to be faithful to two opposing teams, to two opposing groups. Or as we have in our gospel today, it's impossible to straddle both the kingdom of righteousness and the kingdom that is not of righteousness, the kingdom of the world. In the end, you love one and hate the other. Or, as in the case of our Survivor example here, you're never really devoted to either of them. You know, some people look at today's gospel lesson and they think it's all about money. I'd have to disagree with the translation. Money's probably not the right word that should have been translated to in English. Mammon is the one I typically see. It just is, it's worldly goods. It's just, it's stuff, materialism. It's all the things that we see and use and feel as though we absolutely have to have. And mammon for everyone can be different. It could be that video game that you just have to have if you don't have it. It's the game. It's the system. As we get older, it may be that car. It's got to be that car. That's the car. That's the one I have to have. When you straddle that line and you let things come between yourself and Jesus, and it becomes a straddling process. It becomes a war of two worlds. And in the end, much like Jesus wrote in the book of Revelation, he wrote to one of the churches, you're neither hot nor cold. You're neither. You're not for me. You're not against me. You're not saying I'm here or I'm there. You're just kind of lukewarm. And if I remember correctly, Jan, I think he said, I vomit you out. Come on. Pick a side. Today's focus is on that thing that always tends to come between us and Christ. There are many of them, but today's focus is on one that straddles all ages. It doesn't matter if you're very, very young or much more mature. Worry. Worry drives us away from Jesus. And our gospel lesson focuses today that worry is really, it's really a straddling of not being in one kingdom or the other. It comes between us. It's overcoming worry by putting our faith in Jesus. The text or the words that are used here are quite interesting because when we see it in English, we probably don't pick things up. But it really calls to the master-slave agreement. No one can serve two masters. A slave literally trusted everything in their master. They relied upon clothing, on food. Everything came from the master. The text today is no different. You can't serve two masters. Do we rely completely on Jesus for everything? It's tough. I'll admit it. It's tough to put your faith completely into a master. But it's what we're called to do. Paul uses the term that we are slaves to righteousness so many times throughout his text that it really starts to hit home. We kind of lose sight of that. We don't have slaves today. We don't know what that even means to be a slave. But we're called to be a slave to righteousness, to Jesus. It's not part-time. When you were a slave, it was full-time. When you needed something, you didn't worry about it. You went to your master and you asked. The master was ultimately responsible for whether or not you received what you asked for, but nonetheless, that's the direction and the path you took. Jesus also provides some examples here for us about worrying. I have one thing I called my German academic, and I was tracing this word worry. You know, where did this word come from? And as we go through these examples of worrying, it's interesting to think of worrying in this way. It goes back to old High German. We'll see if I get this right, because I want to make my professor proud here. But it comes from the word Würgen. How did I do? Würgen. It means, literally, it means to strangle. You have to know that worrying, or maybe today, let's use the term that probably a lot of people hear more about, is anxiety. It strangles you. You've probably known people, or possibly yourself, even had an anxiety attack. It's to the point where it has become so engrossed in your head, in your body, that you start to actually manifest physical side effects of it. You worry yourself. And you can almost see this word, Würgen, strangling from the inside. Jesus says that worrying is unfaithful. Have you thought of that? Unfaithful. It shows a lack of faith. The way the text is written, it can be taken two ways. If you're worrying, stop. Don't. If you're not worrying, don't start. He's got everything under control. Now, I don't want you to go away from today's message thinking that, well, one, I should never ever be concerned about anything in my life. That's not what worrying is. Concern is valid. Worrying is when you let it grip you, when you let it take over your life. I also don't want you leaving here thinking, well, if Jesus provides everything, I'm just going to go and sit in my home, back in my lazy boy, and I'm going to wait for people to drop food off. No. It doesn't work that way either. The example he gives are, what about the birds of the air? They don't sow or reap, but they have everything they need. You know, look at a hummingbird just once. If you don't think that hummingbird, which has everything it needs, is not working, you're crazy. They continuously have to eat because those little wings beat so fast that they have to constantly replenish the supply of energy in their body. They're always working. Again, we're focusing on don't let it overcome your life. I haven't checked up on this, but I've seen two sources. And I think it's valid, but you know, just because something comes from the internet doesn't make it true. But I'm going to tell you anyways. The story goes that John Wesley, which you know, founded the Methodists. John Wesley was out one day, and a man came running up and said, Mr. Wesley, your house is on fire. And he didn't really get too uptight about it. As a matter of fact, he didn't even run back to his home. And he was asked, Mr. Wesley, don't you care about your home? It's on fire. His response was, it's not my home. It was given to me by the Lord. And quite frankly, if it burns down, that's one less thing I have to worry about than to keep myself from focusing on Jesus Christ. I probably wouldn't have that reaction if someone told me my house was burning down. But you get the point. This was a devoted religious man. Someone who loved Christ. And he must have felt that his house was keeping him in some way, shape, or form from completely being devoted to his Savior. After all, the opposite of worrying is contentment. If you're not content with what you have, you have a tendency to worry. Yet Christ has made the promise. You will have everything you need. Again, he's the master. It may not be everything we want, but certainly he'll provide everything we need. I can't help but think about these dresses and now the boys' shorts and the shirts that go along with both of them. Is anyone worrying? Is anyone right now in Malawi worrying about where their next piece of clothing will come from? How could I possibly make it through the next day? Because I don't, once this outfit wears out, I have nothing else. And yet, the Lord's using us, this small little congregation in the town of Freedom, to box these up and send them over. And it won't be just us. There's other boxes going that direction as well. This is a project, a worldwide global project of creating pillowcase dresses for these children. And they're going to walk in, and there's going to be a box sitting there. And they're going to open it up and say, this came from some small church. They may not even know how to pronounce the name Freedom. They may not even know truly what the word freedom means. But they will know that someone out there loves them. And it's all because we're doing the work of the Lord. Worrying's really a lack of faith. How about worrying being unnecessary? Jesus uses the illustration of who can add one more, it's really not hour to their life, but the text is who can add to their time span? Who can add anything to their time span? A doctor was interviewed about the anxiety attacks that more and more people seem to be having. And his response was, I have never, ever witnessed one person worrying who was able to live longer. But I have witnessed many, many, many people whose worrying has actually ended their life sooner. In many ways, worrying doesn't give us any more time. It's unnecessary. Again, if we put our faith in Christ, who says he's going to give us everything we need, he'll be there with us. He never leaves our side. What's the point? What's the point to let something completely grip your mind and rip it away from Jesus? Worrying's unreasonable. I don't remember how the NIV translated it, but the word is, pagans worry about such things. Or Gentiles, you may see it translated. People who don't believe in Jesus. They worry about things such as, where am I going to get my clothes? Where am I going to get my food? How am I going to take care of all these things I have to take care of today? There's not enough time in the day. They create their own gods in their mind. Or carve them out of wooden sticks and sit them there and say, okay, my worrying's done, help me. It's just a piece of wood. It's not going to help me at all. We create our own gods. Again, maybe a video game, maybe a car, maybe a particular home. And then they cause us to worry. We go into debt up to our eyeballs and wonder, how am I going to pay for all this? It's not money itself that is bad. It just happens to be the root of a lot of really bad things. Going into debt is bad. I'm not saying all debt's bad, but when you're in over your head, what do? You worry. You worry, worry, worry. You can't do that. Jesus tells us, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things, referring back to the clothes, the things to eat, all these things be gathered unto you. It's one of my favorite Camp Lutherland songs. I can hear it in my head right now. I love that song. I won't sing it for you. I'll spare you. But it goes back to something that Pastor Tom, when he was here, he preached on. The text itself, the tense of that verb, seek first the kingdom of God, it's not a single solitary point in time. It's continue to seek. Seek always. Don't stop seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. It's not something we do once and then give up. It's not something that we do on Sundays only, and then Monday through Saturday kind of live throughout the rest of the world. Always seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That's what the text says. And all these things we gathered unto you. Lastly, worrying is unwise. It's not very smart. Jesus uses the example, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow has enough of its own problems. Worry about, or focus on what you're doing today. Don't worry about it, but focus on it. Recently, I do have things that I do outside of the church. I'm a manager for a software group. And a few weeks ago, there was so much to do. The backlog of items that needed to be done was so high that everyone was working at a feverish pace for days and days and days on end. Every single day from the time you walked through the door till the time you walked out of the door, and then even some in the evening, people were working. And they were worrying about how are we going to get all this done. California was calling in. Are these things done? Are these things done? When's this going to get done? This got to get done. We have people waiting. We got to get this done. And then we started making mistakes. People started making dumb mistakes. I mean, mistakes happen, but these were just dumb mistakes. They weren't thought through very well. And after about the third one, just in the morning, I said, that's it. Stop. Put everything down. Let's go outside. We're done. We're not doing anymore. It's time to slow down. It's time to take a step back. It's time to take a breather and stop thinking about all the things that have to be done and think more about what you're working on. California call. When's this going to be done? You guys working? No, we're not working. What are you doing? Why are things? When are they going to be done? What are you doing? We're going outside. Like, that's how we do things here in Pittsburgh. It's time to slow down. I don't care how fast you need something. When you start making dumb mistakes, and then the time to correct those mistakes adds on to the workload that you already have piling up behind you, it's time to take a breather. I think Jesus is saying something very similar here. Don't worry about tomorrow. Focus on the trials, the temptations that you have today. Focus on the Lord today. There'll be plenty for you to do tomorrow. It's not saying you don't have to plan. It's just don't worry about it. Don't let it consume your head. And I know I'm preaching to the choir here. Literally, D, you're the choir. But I have nights when I wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning and I wonder, how am I going to get this stuff done? It's difficult. But that's our lesson. He says, trust in me. Trust in me. It won't add to your life worrying about what you got to do. It's unwise. It's unreasonable. But more importantly, it does show, in some sense, a lack of faith. Oh, you have little faith. Every time I hear that, it stabs me right here. I don't mean to. But we're all born with it. Focus on Christ. Focus on what He has to offer. Focus on His promises. And you will soon find your worrying will definitely decrease as you put more of your mind on Him and less on you. Amen.